If we want to think that the tribes of Arabia had great prejudice and racism, Quraysh had the most prejudice. Quraysh were the most, in their own eyes, special tribe chosen by God. They were Ahlullah. And because they were in the Haram, and because they had such profits and riches from all the people coming to visit Mecca and visiting the idols and visiting the Kaaba, it meant also that they could be a center of trade, not only in their own land, but they built a caravan that would go up to Damascus and Syria and down to Yemen, and they would trade. They would take hundreds of thousands of dinar. They would take 2,000 camels on these caravans, and they would go up and they would trade and come back down, and they would trade with all the different empires as well. Now, Quraysh, in order to go on these trips and these journeys, they had to have a treaty of peace with all the different tribes that they would meet on the land, so that they would not encounter any bandits. And this is where in the Quran, when you read لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, this is what it means. Quraysh had all these treaties with all these tribes, which meant all these tribes made so much money because of Quraysh. So much of their economy relied on Quraysh. Quraysh were the heads of all of Arabia. And this is why Prophet Muhammad said that Al-Nas kulluhum taba'un li Quraysh, that everyone follows Quraysh. If Quraysh don't accept me, in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, Quraysh were the main ones who stood in his way. Even though he's from Quraysh, and even though Imam Ali alayhi salam is from Quraysh, but they're not Qurayshi minded, because they're not racist, because they didn't have any prejudice, because we believe in Islam as the Quran tells us, akramakum andallahi atqakum, the most noble of you or the most God conscious of you. And as the Prophet would say, it would not matter if you're white or if you're black or if you're a foreigner or Persian or an Arab or anyone else, we are all equal, and the only difference is in piety to God. And so Quraysh stood in his way because he was going to ruin their business. But there was no way the people of Arabia would follow Prophet Muhammad if Quraysh did not follow. Till now, Quraysh, they run that part of the world. Till now, surprisingly enough, Quraysh, 650 years after the death of the Prophet, they ran Islam and they ruled Islam. And all those khulafa that came afterwards ruled Islam were from Quraysh, because they believed that their bloodline was a special bloodline. Till now, many Quraysh still are very important in this part of the world. Now, it doesn't mean because they have to be. Like, subhanAllah, if you look at Iraq right now, you think of Sayyid Sistani. He's a Sayyid, he's from Quraysh, and he's perhaps the most powerful man of all of Iraq. Or in Iran, Sayyid Khamenei is also a Sayyid, which means he's also from Quraysh. Now, it's not stipulated, but that's how it turns out. Even in Lebanon, if you think about the Sayyid there, he's also from Quraysh. Now, Quraysh, of course, at that time, we're not talking about these beautiful faces of Quraysh, including Rasulullah, including Imam Ali alayhi salam. But we're speaking about the other side of Quraysh, the prejudiced side of Quraysh. No one would follow Prophet Muhammad if Quraysh did not. And so the beginning of Prophet Muhammad's journey was made very difficult by Quraysh, because all the different tribes that benefited from Quraysh would not dare to go against Quraysh. The ambassadors and the royal members of the families in Syria or in anywhere else, whenever the Quraysh would go to visit that land, they would stay in their homes. And so the chiefs of Quraysh were given great prestige. And that's why we begin to understand that the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam turned out the way it did, because he didn't accept the way Quraysh were ruling Islam and the land. Even though many Muslims, we say Muslims, came and said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah," they couldn't remove the love of Quraysh out of their hearts. And so no one would follow Imam Ali alayhi salam after the death of the Prophet, because Imam Ali was not Qurayshi minded. And Imam Ali, he saw the slaves as maybe greater than some people from Quraysh if they had more piety. And so someone from Quraysh would see, even if they were Muslim, they would say, Salman, who is this foreigner? Abu Dhar? He doesn't even have a tribe around here. He's from another tribe, Bani Ghaffar. He's not from Quraysh. Who? Ammar, another slave? These were all slaves. And they were the closest companions to Imam Ali for a reason, because he treated people with equality. However, these freed slaves who became Muslims were never seen as equals by Quraysh. And so, this is why Quraysh wanted those who would favor Qurayshi people to rule Islam after the death of Prophet Muhammad. And so Quraysh would only want the ruler of Islam to be someone who would favor Quraysh. They couldn't do it with Prophet Muhammad because he was Sahib al-Quran. But after his death, they wanted to bring back life to Quraysh with the cover of Islam. And so when you look at that first night, when they go to Imam Ali alayhi salam's house, which we'll get to at the end of the series, and they want Imam Ali alayhi salam to give bay'ah, the only ones who support Imam Ali are those who were previously slaves or not from Quraysh. Because Quraysh wanted those who would favor Quraysh. They saw Islam as the religion of Quraysh. And that's why Abu Sufyan, who we mentioned is the cousin of Imam Ali, he comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam at the end, after Khalifa, after Saqifa. And he says to Imam Ali, tell me the word, give me the word, and I'll give you 1,000 swords, 1,000 soldiers right now to defend your right. Because this right of Khilafah is not meant for them, it's meant for us. We are the sons of Abd Munaf, the sons of Qusay. He still saw it as Qurayshi, but he saw it as one of the clans of Quraysh. What did Imam Ali tell him? Innama anta munafiq. You're a hypocrite. This isn't about a family feud. It's not about this lineage. It's not about something that we inherit. This is a divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for you or us. Because right now you say that I'm going to take it, but after I pass away, it's going to be yours or your sons. That's of course what Abu Sufyan wanted. So the first thing that the first Khalifa does after he takes the Khilafah, he takes Mal al-Muslimin and he gives it to Abu Sufyan. Why? To make peace between the clans and say, this is your money, just don't come against us. He keeps everyone sweet and happy in the different clans of Quraysh. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam, he didn't even need Abu Sufyan. If he wanted to be Qurayshi minded, he's from Bani Hashim, one of the noblest clans of Quraysh. If he wanted to be Qurayshi, he could be, but he wasn't Qurayshi minded, and so they stood against him. And then we understand so much more. And then we understand Karbala, when Imam al-Hussein was standing in Karbala, telling them, don't you know who my father is? And they say, we know who your father is. And that's why we're doing this. Because they wanted revenge against the one who stood against Quraysh. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam was in several battles that we're going to speak about in this series, where he killed many famous members of Quraysh. And the descendants of those people wanted revenge, one of which was Yazid, who in his palace, after they had brought Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam to him, and she stood there in front of him, and they brought forth the head of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam on a plate, and Yazid would pick at the lips of Imam Hussein with a stick. You know what he would say? He would say, I wish my grandfathers from Badr were here to witness this day. And he begins to recite poetry. You see, so much of what happened in history revolves around the history of Quraysh and the importance of Quraysh. And so much begins to make sense once we understand Quraysh.